studying God's Word that we might abound in grace. This is Abounding Grace. Join us. Again, welcome to the broadcast. Abounding Grace is the name of the program. Our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, takes us to God's Word each and every day here on Abounding Grace with a few moments of encouragement and exhortation from God's Word. Make it a point to join us today as we study God's Word that we might show ourselves approved, encouraged in Christ, growing in our walk with Him. Here now, from United Reformed Church of Linden, our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, with this edition of Abounding Grace.
Welcome to Abounding Grace today. We're taking up the subject this week of forgiveness. This subject, of course, is not foreign to any one of us. Every one of us at some point in life has struggled to forgive somebody, has been at enmity, or been in a dispute with someone. And the subject is very serious, at least looking at it biblically speaking, because forgiveness is all about the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Without forgiveness, anyone and everyone would be completely lost. So this week, the subject is forgiveness. I want to start today by reading a statement to you that I found by John Owen. And he said this years ago, "Our forgiving of others will not guarantee forgiveness for ourselves." Now listen to this. "But our not forgiving others proves that we ourselves are not forgiven." It was his last statement that really did impact me, that Owen said that a sure indicator that one is not a Christian is if he does not forgive others. Now that raises, of course, all sorts of questions, doesn't it? How specific can we get? Does someone have to come to us first to be forgiven? What if the offense is beyond the imaginable? Am I still required to forgive? You see, the issue of forgiveness can be a very sensitive subject. Engage someone about the issue of forgiveness, and you may soon find yourself in a deep emotional discussion. And that really makes sense, doesn't it? People do horrendous things to one another. Everyone here has been sinned against in some way. Everyone approaching this issue from a different angle, a different experience with different questions. Those who have faced greater offenses will have greater struggles to forgive. The more horrendous the sins against you, the harder it will be to forgive. But what we should all be able to say, at least initially, is that forgiveness of others is one of the defining, one of the quintessential marks of what it means to be a Christian. At least we have to say that is exactly what our Lord Jesus Christ teaches. And knowing the great importance that our Lord gives to the subject of forgiveness, we need to see throughout this week, as we discuss what the Bible says with regard to this, we need to evaluate our hearts to see if they are ever ready and willing to forgive others. It's my prayer, of course, that as you hear this week, as we look at this passage in the Gospel of Matthew on forgiveness, that you will not hear this teaching and say, "This is for somebody else to hear. I hope they would hear this." This problem is one in every one of us. And so with that, we want to listen carefully to our Lord's teaching on forgiveness. In chapter 18 of the Gospel of Matthew, the disciples had come to Jesus and asked him a very important question. Listen to Matthew chapter 18, verse 1. "At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, 'Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?'" Now, remember, this was the issue that would later be the cause for much argument among them. And in the parable that we're considering this morning, Jesus is really addressing this question. If you want to be great in his kingdom, here's what greatness looks like. Now, part of this response to their question includes Jesus' teaching on how to deal with a sinning brother. And what we read in verse 21 is that Peter came up to him and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" Now we have to pause and ask what motivated Peter to come to the Lord with that kind of question. Well, it was undoubtedly provoked by what Jesus had just said with regard to how we are to deal with a sinning brother. He outlines there this three-stage process for dealing with someone who sins against you. And let me just say, initially, before we look at this, if people would just follow this, and if people would honor what Jesus says, you would see so much more harmony and unity in Christ's church. And yet, sadly, in this country and around the world, it is a time where we have never seen so much disunity. And I believe if this principle in Matthew chapter 18 was followed, we would again see the love and community of faith that is bonded together in the love of Christ that the Bible desires. Well, in verse 15, moreover, Jesus says, if your brother sins against you, go tell him his fault between you and him alone. Now, that's striking because we often hear, and I've heard this just so often in the Christian ministry, they first have to come to us. They first have to ask for our forgiveness. If they haven't done that, then we're not obligated to forgive them. But what does Jesus say here? He tells us to do the exact opposite. First, you go to him. This is one of the most neglected duties and obligations that we have as Christians. It may be that many of us have never, ever done this, even as Christians. According to Jesus, to neglect this is to let the person continue in sin. So if we don't take a stand, let me say, sometimes taking a stand against sin will get you labeled. Will get you labeled as somebody who doesn't love. Will get you labeled as someone who's insensitive, as somebody who doesn't listen. But hey, the Bible clearly teaches that sometimes it is those, the peacemakers, are the ones who take stands against sin and actually are persecuted with those kinds of charges. There is a very serious obligation for us to go to a sinning brother. And Jesus says, if he hears you, so you go to him, you bring the sin in front of them. You are in sin. You're doing this, and I love you enough to tell you about it and tell you you have to change, repent of this. Jesus says, if that person hears you, you've gained your brother. That's always the goal of discipline. Discipline is the very act of love. Remember what Hebrews chapter 12 says, do not despise the discipline of the Lord, for whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. And so the goal of discipline, the goal of going to your brother and pointing out sin is always restoration. We don't want to see our brother go down a path of sin. We don't want to see them make wrong choices. And even though at times we will be persecuted for standing up and saying, no, that's wrong, the Lord calls us to do this. But let's say that they continue to refuse. In the second step, Jesus says, if he won't hear you, take someone else. And finally, if still he refuses to hear, Jesus says, tell it to the church. But if he refuses to hear the church, and there you see the authority Jesus clearly says given to the church to discipline, if he refuses to hear the church, let him be a heathen and a tax collector. Very strong language from our Lord. So people who flat out reject the authority of their elders and reject their church, they need to hear this. Jesus says they are no better than heathens and tax collectors in the eyes of God. The keys of the kingdom have been given to the church for the responsibility of disciplining wayward members. And Jesus says, look, when two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. He means that when his church has gathered to exercise this principle, he is also there in judgment with them. Now that's the teaching. Straightforward. No real issues there, right? I mean, that's very clear, isn't it? But here comes Peter. Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? And you could say, how often shall my brother sin against me and I not only forgive, but go to him? Because that's what Jesus had just said. Notice that the issue is not whether he needs to go through this three-step process, though. He knows that. The Lord has just instructed him to do that. Peter's concern centers on that beginning statement. If your brother sins against you, if someone keeps doing these things, if he keeps on sinning against me, is there ever a point, Lord, at which I can just stop forgiving? We might think, well, if someone keeps doing the same old sin, maybe there's a point where a lack of forgiveness would be a good thing. So Peter wants to know, at what point is it when we need to stop forgiving? Now we should pause and ask, what is forgiveness, my friends? The word for forgiveness in the Greek literally means letting go. It means to let go of an offense so that the goal of a restored relationship between two parties who are offended may be reconciled and achieved. In a personal sense, it is releasing a person of the consequences of his wrongful action. We all know that in the Jewish tradition, the rabbis were teaching that you only needed to forgive somebody three times. Listen to Rabbi Jose ben Judah in AD 180. If a brother sins against you once, forgive him. A second time, forgive him. A third time, forgive him. But a fourth time, do not forgive him. This teaching is found throughout the Jewish writings. Here comes Peter, part of that tradition. Lord, we know the tradition here. How often do I keep on forgiving? Up to seven times? You almost hear in Peter's voice some enthusiasm. Surely we've come to know your mercy, O Lord. Surely you would go beyond the present day thinking. You've already done that. I mean, hadn't he walked through the grain fields on the Sabbath and plucked grain? He knew well that Jesus often used the number seven to communicate important truths. Seven is often recognized in the Bible and used as the number of perfection. And in verse 22, Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Peter had no idea how great the mercy of God really was and is. What is Jesus saying? Well, he's not saying at some point you can stop at 78 offenses. He's saying that forgiveness must be indefinite. There's no end to it. If we're going to be great in his kingdom, says Jesus, our entire lives must be characterized by constant forgiveness of others. As one pastor said, it's like asking how often should I love my wife? I don't think the wives would be happy if I told all of the husbands here they need to love their wives up to seven times when they offend them. We're to never stop loving. And so too, Christ treats forgiveness in the same way. There must be no counting at all, friends, says Christ. It's a way of life. Forgiveness is like breathing because we're forgiven in Christ. Let me ask you today, is there anyone whom you're caught up in a dispute with? Is there somebody to whom you cannot forgive? Jesus says today you must forgive him an infinite number of times, and that will show that you understand how much the Lord Jesus Christ has forgiven you if you are a Christian. Bring this program to you every week to encourage you in Christ to look at the truths of God's Word and to learn from them, but also to call all of those out there who don't believe in Jesus to put your hope in Him, and also to invite you to become part of the family of God, to join a local church where you may learn more about this Christ. We give you a hearty invitation to join us this Sunday for worship at the Linden United Reformed Church, a place where we can promise you the Bible will be opened and exposited and the truth of Christ and Him crucified will be given to you. Join us for worship 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. this Sunday, or you may call 360-318-0429. Visit us on the web, www.lindenurc.com.